Friends, in the past 2 or 3 weeks, we have been considering this psalm, Psalm 121, which is the psalm amongst that category of the psalms, which is called the Song of Degrees. It's the Psalms of Ascension. As the children of Israel would have gone during the festivals, the feast days, to Jerusalem. And they would sing these psalms as they would go up. And we have looked at these verses in a devotional manner in our midweek meetings, which has helped us to pray. And we come now to verse 3 of Psalm 121, where the psalmist says this: He, that is the Lord, will not suffer or allow thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Now let us think about these words that are before us. And the first thing that I want us to think about is this: of the Lord's care, of the Lord's care in a personal way. His care is personal in its objects. He is the keeper. He is the one who will not allow the feet of his people to be moved. And that is a wonderful expression that is used there. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The keeper of Israel, the keeper of the Lord's people in general, is the keeper of the individual. And that's why the psalmist says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Not your foot, but thy foot. And that's why it is, our authorized version translates this so accurately in the singular pronoun, and it gives us that personal aspect of this. This is a personal psalm. God deals with us individually. Well, this verse is either an address of the psalmist to his own soul. It's as if he's talking to himself. It's a prayer that is going through his mind and heart, and he's thinking, considering his own soul, and he's speaking to himself. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, O my soul. Or he's speaking to another person. He's addressing someone else. His friend, his acquaintance. And he's saying, your feet, if you are a child of God, you will have the assurance of stability. You have the assurance of the Lord keeping you. You have the assurance of perseverance, because the Lord will keep you. He's speaking there of the grace of God as well. It's God by his grace keeps his people. And that is always the case, because he could leave you. He could leave us to fall, for our feet to be moved. But it says that he wouldn't allow that. And that's grace. The Lord keeps the feet of his saints from falling. And this is talking about individual believers. And the Lord's people, Israel, was made up of individuals. The church is built up of individuals. And that's a great comfort. So, because in circumstances in our lives, we can think about other people. And you can think about, well, I can see that in another person's life. I can see that in this brother, in this sister, in this Christian's life. I can see that happening with them, but not with me. But when it says this, it makes it very personal. Because faith in Christ is an individual thing. It's a personal thing as well. We can't go by faith of others. We must trust the Lord for ourselves. And this is the case. You often read the promises of God. It is given to individuals. You see the experiences that individuals have of the Lord's keeping them. You have the experience of the love of God, which is individual as well. The Apostle Paul would say things like, He loved me and gave himself for me, and so on. And have you not experienced this yourself, this personal keeping of the Lord, that he did not let your feet fall? He did not allow you for your feet to be moved? You didn't slip? Or as you were, he kept you, he upheld you? Friends, if you were to slip on that journey to Jerusalem, the pilgrimage that was taking place to Jerusalem, if you stumbled down a mountainside, that could mean your death. And so this is a powerful image. God will not let your feet slip. He constantly watches you. He constantly keeps his saints. So have you thought of your own concerns? Have you thought about your temptations? And you think they are too small for the Lord to see, or too insignificant for the Lord to notice? No. The Lord is not like us. He doesn't get tired. The Lord doesn't get bored. There is no time when we cannot turn to him. Yet sometimes we are slow to turn to God for help. And here is this. The psalmist is saying to his own soul, he's saying to us as individuals, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Are you beginning to stumble? You feel yourself, you're beginning to fall? Your instinct should be to turn to the Lord then. And use these words towards him in your prayers. Lord, this is what thou hast said. Make this psalm a psalm for yourself. Take a verse every day and pray over these things. Make them your prayers. And bring them as arguments before the Lord. As children who come to the parents and say, but you said this. You promised this. That you will get us ice cream or whatever else the parents might promise the children. And so it is as God's children. We should go and bring these promises. Lord, this is what we are told in the scriptures. Thou hast said it. Friends, what we are told here about our feet being moved, it's also giving us a warning. Giving us a warning. It's saying that the Christian is always on dangerous ground. You're on a ground that you can easily stumble upon. It is a ground that you can slip on. It is an icy ground. And you don't know it. Because we may fall into sin. Even the fact that we cannot fall into hell as believers, but we can fall into sin. We may break our bones. We say we don't break our necks, but we can break our bones. We are liable to fall into error as well. We can easily follow wrong ideas, wrong teaching, wrong thinking, moving by our own emotions. We were reading earlier on today about the fact that the world tells you, follow your heart. Do what you desire. Seek after the kind of job that you want. And children are taught at an early age, just follow your heart. Well, how has our world come to the world now that has fallen its own heart? And the scripture says, no, don't follow your heart. Follow me. And this is a dangerous world in which we can follow our hearts into error. We are also in a dangerous place because we can fall by Satan and his temptations. Satan is crafty. Satan is malicious. He has many devices prepared, planned, just for you. He knows the human race in many ways. He has experiences. He's had 6,000 years or more of practice. How much practice have you had? And so it is, when you are being tempted, remember you need the Lord. You can't deal with this matter, this temptation or whatever it is, by your own strength, because how old are we? And how old is Satan? How old are we and how much practice, how much experience have we got? And so what should we do in that dangerous situation where we can fall? Seek the Lord. Flee temptation, run to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that eternal God, who is the creator of the angel who fell. And so remember that. You and I are liable to fall because of our weaknesses. How often we have made rash decisions when we have been tired, when we have been sleepy, when our emotions have been affected and we say some awful thing or do some awful thing. And so we can fall into that. Anger, by anger we can say something or do something so rash and quick and regret it for many years to come. We can also fall, we are liable to fall by sinful pleasures. And our flesh takes delight in them, but we can fall into it. We are liable to fall by when we don't check our temper. We need constant watchfulness. We can fall by other people. We have so many examples in the scriptures about these things. So this is where we are taught here that the Lord, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved because you're on dangerous ground. So be careful, be warned about that. Depend on the Lord. It is very slippy, this world. Slippery. And we are apt to be incautious. We are apt to be careless. But it is this unspeakable mercy of God that God has promised to keep us. He will keep your feet. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He keepeth the feet of his saints. But there are times that the Lord will let you feel your weaknesses. And then he will show you how he keeps us. He makes us realize that we need his keeping. He makes us realize that we need to plead for his keeping. And so in Psalm 119 and verse 17, he says this. Or verse 117, I should say. 119 and verse 117. He says, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Because he felt he was falling. And so what does he do? As he feels like that, he calls upon the Lord and says, Lord, hold me up. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And so there are times that the Lord will let us just feel it a little bit. It is like as if you have been on the ice and you begin to slip, but someone catches you and stabilizes you. And that word, to be moved, is the word that could be translated to slip. It is a word that is translated elsewhere to be removed or moved or to fall. It is used when a person wavers, when a person is wobbling in themselves or in their actions. They don't know what to do. They are being tossed to and fro. That's the word that is used there. It's a figure of a speech that is used, of course. It's talking about the human condition and it's talking about our life. It's not literally talking the Lord will not let you fall because all of us have fallen. Physically speaking. But this is what the Lord says, figuratively, regarding Israel. It's the same word is used in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 35. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 35, this is what we read regarding Israel. And Moses records and says this, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense, their foot shall slide. Exactly the same word. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. So it's the same word. Their foot shall slide. So friends, remember this. The Lord will not let your feet to slide for you to be altogether moved, for you to altogether fall. So what happens? What happens with this when you think about this? When you come with all your care, with all your load in your life, and you think to yourself that you're under pressure, and the Lord has brought these things in your life. He has allowed certain things to come. As he says, he will not allow, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. But there are things that he has brought into your life, and they have become a great weight in your life. What should you do? Then what God has put on your shoulders, then hand it over to him. Lay it upon the Lord. In his wisdom, God has brought these things into your life, and he has sought to bring you to see, to mold you, to guide you, to put you in certain things so that he might teach you his wisdom, he might show you his grace. So what you should do, if it, in his wisdom he has brought these things into your life, then it is you being wise if you were to cast it on him. He gives you that thing that you're suffering under. Then you should accept it with cheerful resignation. And remember, he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He will not cause you to break under these things. So think about these things, friends. But something else, the latter part, it says, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. It's speaking of the fact that God's care is unwearied. Is unwearied. He will not slumber. Don't you think the Lord doesn't know your condition? Do you think he is ever indifferent to your situation? Do you think he is ever weary of helping you? It says this, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He keeps you. And that word to keep, it means to protect, it means to guard. And he says this person, this Jehovah, this Lord will protect you, will guard you. He's keeping you, and he will not slumber in that situation. Your guardian will not fall asleep. Jehovah, your helper, will not sleep. He will not doze off, as it were, he's saying. He's not slothful. He will quickly help. He's not negligent to you and to your estate. And he goes on in verse 4, says, behold, if there is any doubt, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Matthew Henry says this, whatever charge he gives his angels to keep his people, he has not thereby discharged himself. So that whether every particular saint has an angel for his guardian or no, we are sure he has God himself for his guardian. It is infinite wisdom that contrives and infinite power that works the safety of those that have put themselves under God's protection. Think on those things, friends. We have a shepherd. Shepherd of the flock. Shepherd who keeps every one of his sheep. And he will not be careless over them. He will not be sleeping when the wolves come and steal away the little ones. His mind never wanders. Has your mind already wandered? Don't we get distracted so easily? Well, the Lord's mind never wanders. Think about what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 1 and verse 17. He says that the Lord Jesus Christ, that in him all things consist. All things consist. This means that in his providence, the Son of God holds all things together and he keeps our world in motion. Everything is revolving. Every atom in this world is being kept up by the Lord Jesus Christ. So if his mind wanders, imagine a God whose mind wanders. What happens to his creation? The whole thing would self-destruct. That's what will happen if God was to be distracted. He is not distracted. Because everything is kept in motion by the Lord. Everything would fall. Everything would break. Everything would be dissolved if the Lord's mind wandered off, if he slumbered. The planets would go out of spinning. They would go off and they crash into each other. Prayers would be unheard. Prayers would be unanswered. And those whom he protects, they would be left vulnerable. Vulnerable to themselves. Vulnerable to Satan. Vulnerable to attacks of the enemy. But that could never happen. Why? Because the Lord, who never sleeps, is ever watchful over this world and ever watchful over individual believers. All of the time. Not just sometimes. It says he will not slumber. There's no chance. He will not sleep. We are ever at the center of his attention and his care. We are secure because we have the Savior who loves us, his eyes upon us, and we love him because he first loved us. And his mind never wanders. He's not looking at other people. He's not looking at other things. He's not worried about what's happening tomorrow. He is awake always. Can you be awake always? Children oftentimes get worried at nights and they don't want to sleep and there is no, when it's all dark. And I read about a child and its mother who, the mother was staying up because the girl was scared of the dark. And when the lights were turned out, she would say, no, no, don't leave me, stay next to me. And then the mother pointed out outside and said, do you see the moon? That's God's light. That's God's light up there. And the child said, is it? Is it? And the mother said, yes, that's the moon. God has created it so that we might have some light at nights. And then she said, well, you'd put out the light. Will God ever put out his light? And the mother said, well, as long as God is awake, he will never put out that light. And then the girl said, well, as long as God is awake, then I'm not going to be afraid. And how we ought to have a childlike faith to trust in the Lord that he is awake. You think he is not seeing? Well, as Christians, we may be confidently committing both night, our nights and our days to our ever faithful and ever watchful God. He's fully aware of your fears. Your fears in those dark hours of your life. He sees all your frustrations. Everything is bright and everything you can see, you become frustrated at all the stuff that you see in your life. And you can be assured that he constantly cares. His loving eye, his protecting hand are always upon us. Friends, this is a wonderful thing because he is not slumbering. He is not dozing off. And that is a great encouragement for us because it means that he is near us. He sees us. You may feel lonely in those lonely hours. Maybe because of illness, because of the loss of loved ones, because of isolation. And our hearts can be filled with all kinds of doubts. Fears can flood your soul. And you don't have any rest and you don't have sleep. Remember, the Lord doesn't slumber. When you wake up and you can't go back to sleep and you've got all your mind filled with worries and cares, remember, the Lord doesn't sleep. So what do you do in that situation? You can go to Him then. You can pray to Him. You can say, Lord, You are not slumbering. You are not sleeping. And so I cast all of these cares to Thee. So trust the Heavenly Father. And then with the psalmist, you will be able to say, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So remember, God is always awake. We have a trustworthy, we have a vigilant watchman. So take comfort in this truth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Praise God for that. Praise God that even our God the Father, He watches over His people. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust, the scripture says. We have a Savior who says, I am with you always. He saw the disciples afar off, that they were toiling in the storm. We have a Holy Spirit who indwells us, who is with us always. He sees, He hears, He knows all things, and He supplies our need. Well, may we give Him the glory then. May we give Jehovah all the praise.